Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Okay, today is, this is Sarah Horn talking. Today is September 28th, 2017, and I'm interviewing Gordon James Heuser. First question I have is,
what is your name?
Gordon James Heuser.
And what is your birthday?
November 5th,
1959. And do you know where you were born? What hospital, city?
I was born in Penrose Hospital in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Okay, and who are your siblings?
I have three brothers and a sister. There's Bartley Heuser, Charles Heuser, David Heuser, and Sarah Horn.
Okay, and your parents' names?
Sarah Bartley Heuser and Gordon Dale Heuser.
And do you know where Mom and Dad were living? When I say Mom and Dad, I'm talking about Gordon Dale and Sarah McKenzie. Sarah McKenzie Heuser. Do you know where they were living when you were born?
They were living on Clarkson. Colorado Springs.
Are there any stories around your birth that you remember Mom and Dad talking about?
The only story I remember is Dad was saying that his mother, Harriet, was watching the children, and a phone call was made to the house when I was born saying, "It's a boy," and Grandma turned around and told my brothers it's a boy, and they all cheered.
Yeah. So, what is your first memory?
Do you really want to know this?
Yes.
My first memory, this is really bad, but my first memory, I don't even think I was 3 years old, maybe two. I was running down the hallway in Clarkson with Mom after me because she was so mad because I had pooped in the hallway. I didn't even have my pants on. I can still remember. She goes, "Oh, you come here." And I said, "Nope."
Oh my gosh.
I hate to tell you, but you wanted my first memory, right?
Do you remember, this was before I was born, but like, do you remember just growing up with your three brothers and what type of things you would do, activities?
Yep, I remember being in Clarkson and we would go down the stairs and there was a TV room downstairs. We'd watch TV. And I can remember they would tease me with a fictitious monster. It was the Claw Clauncher of the Everglades. And I remember I would try to run up the stairs to get away from the Claw Clauncher, but one of my brothers would hold on to my feet and I couldn't move, while another brother swooped in and pounded the back of my head. It's a very fond memory.
Well, it's just that you were, you know, Barkley, Chuck, and David, it's like they were all close in age.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're 4 years later.
Right.
And so, did you feel like you were not part of their group? Or were you like the tag-along? Or no, you never had any impression of it?
Never had any impression of it. Always felt I was part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
They picked on me, but by the same token, I was still allowed to play ball with them or go out and hang with their friends in the backyard if they were shooting hoops or whatever.
So, when did... Do you remember moving to Holiday Place?
Yes, very, very distinctly. I can remember we woke up in the morning in Clarkson. Mom took us somewhere, I can't remember where, but then we came home to the new house on Holiday Place, and we walked in, and one of the light bulbs was out, and Dad went down and said, "Darn light bulb," and unscrewed and put a new one in and turned the lights on, and we saw that basement area where we had the pool table and TV, and I thought, wow, this place is huge.
Yeah. So was your room, if I remember correctly, it's weird, I can hardly remember this, but your room was upstairs.
I had a room upstairs until I was about in, let's see, 7th or 8th grade, then I moved downstairs.
Is that when Barkley went to college?
That's when Barkley went to college, and I think David moved into his room, and I moved into David's old room.
And David's room was the one with the mural.
He had the mural of all the jets and planes.
Was that already there?
Yeah, that was there. It was there when we moved in.
Such a perfect thing for a room full of boys.
No kidding. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Do you remember when I was born?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
What do you remember about it?
Just that we had a little girl, and then we couldn't go into the hospital back then. They didn't allow anyone under 16 in the hospital. So Dad drove us by the hospital, and Mom put her head in the window and put you actually up. And we looked, and we waved, and we drove on.
Huh. So do you remember, like, Grandma and Grandpa, were they living in Colorado Springs? Did they move there later? As far as I knew, they were always living
there. They moved there shortly after I was born, if I'm not mistaken. When you were born, I think they were already living there. Mm-hmm. And they had moved here from Rushville, Nebraska, I think. Mm-hmm. And I remember their first house was in Cragmore. It was a pink house. And they had a house there, and then they lived there several years, and then they moved to the apartments, the Audubon apartments.
Right. I think, if I remember correctly, I think Mom told me that she and Dad bought that house for them.
I
think she told me that, and then they sold it when they moved to apartment. I don't know why they...
I can still see it in my mind's eye, the color, where it is, and to this day it's still there. Barker and I drove by it maybe a year ago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But I can still remember that.
I remember Mom said that Grandma Grace lived with her, or, you know, the family for a while when you were in Clarkson. Do you remember that?
Nope.
Just a year or so, maybe.
I do not remember that one iota.
Yeah, to help Mom with all the kids.
Well, she had four boys.
Yeah, right. Maybe it was when you were little.
Probably. I don't remember that. Not at all.
Yeah. So what school, did you go to kindergarten at Audubon?
I went to kindergarten at Audubon. My teacher was Ms. Radford, R-A-D-F-O-R-D.
I had her too. Yeah, I had Ms. Radford.
And my brothers always called her Ms. Ratfink.
Or we called her Ratfur.
Ratfur.
And then you went to Redeemer Lutheran.
Yep, first through eighth.
Who was your first second teacher?
I had Sally Schulke for my first second, Polly Deutsch for third, fourth. I had Mr. Tinsmeyer for 5th, 6th, and I had Norbert Mell for 7, 8. Who did you have?
Schulke, 1st, 2nd, Kirshen, 3rd, 4th.
That's right.
Seneschal, 5th, 6th, Mell, 7th, 8th. Who was the pastor there?
When I was first at Redeemer, it was Pastor Bush, because his son John Bush and I were the same age. We were in the same class. And I can remember after school, we would always play in the jungle gym. And sometimes I'd even stay late and have dinner with him. Mom would pick me up later, but we'd shoot hoops out there or play in the jungle gym.
Right.
It was great.
You were baptized at Redeemer Lutheran?
No, I was
not. Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, Grandpa baptized me when we were at Clarkson, Mom said, over the kitchen sink.
Really?
Yeah, I was not baptized.
That is so interesting.
And I have a baptismal certificate. It was from whatever Presbyterian church Grandpa's in. That's where he got the baptismal certificate.
I bet all of my brothers were baptized by him, too, maybe.
Probably.
I don't know. Grandpa just happened to be there then when you were...
True.
Yeah, you're born.
Were you baptized at Redeemer?
Yeah.
Nope. I'm a Pres.
Mm, interesting.
I don't know if that counts, but...
It counts. In the Lutheran church, it counts.
Okay, good, 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 good.
One baptism for the remission of sins.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you were confirmed by...
Yeah, it was... Pastor Dreher.
Yeah, Pastor Dreher. And remember, Pastor Dreher died.
He died when I was in 9th grade.
And I was in 3rd or 4th grade.
Right, because he had two daughters. One was your age.
Gina and Melody, and I still...
That's it.
I keep in touch with Gina.
Where are they?
Gina's out in Washington, D.C. Her husband is a veterinarian who works for the federal...
The Department of Veterinarian Affairs?
Something like that. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to ask him about baptism, too. I got to remember that. Okay, where were we? Okay, so where did you go to junior high then?
I went to Irving Junior High then to Mitchell High School.
Oh, gosh.
Both of them not so good schools.
Ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
Did you do any sports in school?
Nope, just water polo one year.
But you were in a club, any clubs or anything, or no?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just goofing around, really?
I was screwing around, yeah.
Did you hang out with? Who was your best friend, like, in Publix, like at Mitchell?
Oh, at Mitchell? A guy named Mark Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
There was I can't remember his name. There was Jamie Tiernan. I think Barkley knows Jamie.
Of course, you always kept in touch with Steve Bauman.
Yes.
Who was from Redeemer, right?
Yeah, Jamie was one. Mark Harrison was another. trying to think of someone else.
Okay.
Greg Schlabs, Ken Bell.
I'm going to ask you these questions here now, and I might have more about your life. But so, what was the happiest moment of your life?
That's a hard one.
It's hard to pick one.
Yeah, I know.
I can name numerous.
You know what? I don't know if I can give you the happiest moment. I've had numerous happy moments. My marriage, birth of my two children, when I got my kidney transplant, finding out David would be a donor.
Yes.
All very happy moments.
Mm-hmm. How about the saddest?
For me, I think the saddest moment was when little Charles died.
Yeah.
That was just devastating to me that a little kid could die.
Who was the most important person in your life?
Ever?
Well, yeah. I guess you could pick a couple if you needed to.
I think Mom was extremely important in my life.
Yeah. Why?
Mom was... First of all, she was a ton of fun, but beyond that, I thought Mom was real straightforward, really set a wonderful example on what family should be in one's life, what's important in one's life, and I think I got a lot of values, especially the family values and social values from Mom.
Yeah, I agree with you. Who has the biggest influence on your life? Maybe that's still Mom, I don't know.
I think I still try to live with a lot of what Mom says. I really, really, especially now that she's gone, you know, in life, she was a genius. Because she didn't let a lot of the little stuff bother her.
Yeah, I know. I
try to live that way.
Yeah, as far as how I live, I really do think about how Mom lived, because she overcame hardships and all that with dignity. No drama, just matter of fact
about stuff.
Always loving, not judgmental. I mean, when I say that, she had opinions, I think, about how people should live their lives. But you could go to her and you knew it was
like.
Yeah,
and even though I know Mom and I may have had disagreements throughout my life, I never felt like she didn't love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure you had the same, you know, disagreements at times, but you never felt that she didn't love you ever.
Yeah. Well, in this question I has, it says it's been said that after they pass away, the most important people in our lives live within us. So I guess in a lot of ways, you'd say that about Mom.
I would agree with that. You know, Barclay and I've always talked about, I think it's somewhere in the Bible, certainly says, what your parents, how they treat you, will live down seven generations.
Right. Right.
And so I try to live my life, and actually Dad as well. Uh-huh. Dad was not quick to punish. Uh-huh. His punishments were always fair, and I deserved them, but they fit the crime. And I tried to raise my kids that way, to love them no matter what, let them go out on their own. If they needed correcting when they were younger, I tried to do it in a fair, non-threatening manner.
Uh-huh. I felt with Dad, and maybe even more than Mom a little bit, like, I could go to him. I could say anything to him. I felt with Mom, maybe in some ways there were things maybe I wouldn't talk to her about that I might talk to Dad about, because maybe because Dad had his own problems too, you know?
True.
I don't know.
No, I think there are a few things I could talk to Dad about that I wouldn't talk to Mom about, but by and large, I think Mom overall had a greater influence in my life.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. At least, certainly for like family values, and all of those things you were saying, which really, I guess, when it comes down to it,
isn't
it's the most important part of your life.
Isn't that the bottom line?
Yeah.
Because the business is going to go away.
Yeah. And I mean, your kids will, that'll carry on.
I hope it will.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Are there any words of wisdom you'd like to pass along? It says to me or to your children.
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
And after going through my kidney transplant and having a health scare, I really think almost on a daily basis when I get irritated at something, is this the hill I want to die on?
Uh-huh.
And there's darn few hills I want to die on. I just don't let the little things bug me like they used to.
Uh-huh. Is that, you think, because of your kidney facing death? Maybe life, you know, because I mean when you were on dialysis, you're in a
precarious
situation.
Yeah, I think part of it's mom, because I think she tried to live her life that way.
Yeah.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Right. This too shall pass. And Dad said that a lot. This too will pass, you know?
Yeah.
But really where it hit home was, you know what, the most important thing is really your family, the support they give you, your health. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, when it comes down to it, what else is there?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What are your proudest moments in your life?
You know, it's an ongoing thing. The fact that I've been married for 31 years.
Yeah.
And that I've made that relationship work. And I'm no box of chocolates, I guarantee that.
I believe that.
I can be a pill. And I'm tough at times. Not so much anymore. And then my two children going out on their own.
Yeah. They've both been great.
And they both have good values.
Yeah.
Lindsay's a little liberal for my taste, but other than that, I think she has good moral values in terms of what a society expects of her and her family.
Yeah.
How has your life been different than what you'd imagined it was going to be?
You know, as a young man, you always think your life is going to be this glamorous, always on the go, lifestyle, kind of like lifestyles of the rich and famous. And it's an evolving process. I think that it's a little bit different in that I never saw myself as really settling down and raising a family. We all wanted that, but I never thought it would be like what it was now. That being said, I would not trade it for the world. It's been the best experience of my life.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have traded it for any money.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Doug and I were talking about his attorney, Lori Huber. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want children at all, you know, because then she would have to sacrifice. And Doug's like, you know, she's really smart. And I'm like, she's not smart enough to know what she's missing.
You know what? That's right. And people who don't have children don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you loved raising your kids.
Oh, my gosh.
And Donna to this day still says, gosh, I sometimes miss those days.
Yeah.
They were busy and hectic, but gosh, mm-hmm. I just loved going to the school for their plays and operettas. And I know you did too.
It's like the richness of the life with
yes.
children.
Yes. There's and I think it strengthens you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Because, man, they test you.
Do you have any regrets?
Probably, but overall not so much. I try to put that behind me. I think the choices that I've made have turned out wonderful. So really, I don't have a lot of regrets. Maybe one regret, I wish I'd have gone in for blood tests earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That might have stopped a problem.
We're going to get to all that in a bit. Okay, let's see. These are just a few, but... how did you feel when you found out you were going to be a parent?
That's mixed emotion.
Because that was, you guys were just married.
Yeah, we'd only been married about a year.
Yeah.
Not even that long, I don't think.
Yeah.
It was mixed emotion. I was excited about it, by the same time I was really scared about it, because now I'm responsible.
Yeah.
For someone who can't earn a living. I knew Donna could always earn a living, do something.
Yeah.
She and I need
if
work,
you needed it to.
But not a little baby.
How did you feel when you saw Lindsay for the first time, your daughter Lindsay?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I can still remember it. It was great. Yeah.
How has being a parent changed you? We kind of talked about that.
Yeah, it made me a lot more patient.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you a lot more patient with people. And again, I go back to, it makes you always wonder, is this the hill I want to die on?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you more tolerant, I think.
What are your dreams for your children?
You know, I want my children to live a life that's happy, productive, morally sound. I think that would be my dream, that they have a family someday, that they can enjoy raising kids.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when your last child left home for good?
Yes, Hannah left home.
Were you sad?
Oh, yes.
Or were you glad? Some people are glad, you know.
No, you know what? My daughters and I are real close.
Yeah.
And I was real mopey about it for several weeks thereafter.
Uh-huh.
Now, truth be told, after several months of her being gone, she came home. I don't think she wanted to be around me more than a few days, and I think her parents also felt the same way, because she wanted to do things a certain way, and she'd been on her own, and vice versa. You know how that goes.
Yeah, no, I do. Like, I love when they come home, but then I'm ready for them to go back to college.
Yeah, exactly. It's time for you to go have your life.
I always have someone making popcorn at 2 in the morning. I'm like, what's going on? Let's see. Do you have a favorite story? I'll have you. Do you have a favorite story about Lindsay, and then maybe a favorite story about Hannah?
Yeah, I have a funny story about Lindsay. She was on a rant one day.
How old was she?
Oh, gosh. She must have been maybe 12 to 14 years old, somewhere in that range. And I don't know what it was about. She got on a rant about her little sister, about how Hannah gets... Lindsay said she gets all the... Lindsay gets all the responsibility and Hannah gets all the love. And I can still remember that, you know, Donna said, well, that might be true, but... And then Lindsay went bananas and stormed off into her bedroom.
Because Donna was home with the girls, they are girls.
Yes.
And so was there a lot of conflict at home with the girls and between each other, with their mother?
You know what? They did fight tooth and nail, the two girls did. And I can remember when Hannah was real little, Donna said, we're going to take a bath, and we have a big, you know, sit-down bathtub that's real big. And so Donna got in the tub, and Hannah got into the tub. Well, I came out, and I'm on my way to work, and I see a little naked two-year-old go screaming by through the hallway with my wife totally naked following
right behind her.
Right behind her saying, come back here, come back here. Because she had hopped out of the tub.
Oh, bless her.
And so, what the heck? So, but I think the girls, their moms, or the girls butt heads more with their mother than they do with their father.
That's what I mean. We're two girls.
Whereas with me, it was very matter of fact. There wasn't a lot of drama. When I sat down and told them what I wanted done, for the most part, they would do that. They would push back sometimes, but not so much like they would with their mom.
Yeah. Well, maybe they sensed a little weakness.
I remember in high school, probably, because every time they'd come up and they said, Dad.
They've already tried. Yeah,
yeah, I go, hey, I smell butter melting here. Oh, that's me. You know, there's some goofy stuff.
Tell me a story about Hannah that... Anything about Hannah there's a lot of funny stories about Hannah too. There are about Lindsay also.
Boy, Hannah's just, yes, I can remember Hannah, a story about Hannah. And she had just gotten her driver's license. Maybe she had it 2 or 3 days. And I'm at work. And it's about 5:30. And this was in probably mid-December. And I answer the phone, and I hear sirens wailing in the background.
Shit.
And I'm going, what? And the guy goes, hi, sir, my name is Stan Smith. I'm from the Colorado Springs Fire Department. I first want to tell you, your daughter's okay. I go, okay, good. And I go, well, what do you mean she's okay? She goes, well, I'm going to have you tell her. I'm going to have her tell you. So she gets on the phone and says, well, I went down to get Starbucks, and I had it in a container. I had 4 cups of coffee in the container, 1 for each of us, and it started sliding off, and so I looked down to try to catch it before it tipped over, and I didn't realize the car didn't stop as I looked down. Anyway, she ended up in the back seat of a Honda, and she goes, is that bad? And I go, it's not good.
Well, Hannah's had a few accidents, hasn't she, with the car?
She has.
Didn't she drive it in some hail once and, like, beat the car get beat?
That's right. It was softball-sized hail. It totally trashed it. But she kept going, trooper that she is, instead of stopping under a bridge.
And then she forgot to put the brakes on, and it rolled into the neighbor's
house. Oh, gosh, that's another story. 4th of July, I get a call from the police department. And I get over to where this happened, and I said, Hannah, what happened? She goes, I don't know. I parked on Nicole's driveway, and it's a very steep driveway, and Mary and I went in to get her, and when I came out, the car was rolling down the hill, and it went across the street, and it went into the yard, and it went into that guy's living room. And there I look across, and sure as shooting, there's half my car sticking out of that guy's house, the back end being in his living room. And I said, Hannah, did you leave anyone there? Just Mary's brother and his friend. How old are they? 14.
Jeez.
So I wondered. Now, the poor guy whose house the car ended up in had just moved here from Korea, and he spoke no English.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the upshot is we got the car out into the street, we taped it all up, and then I drove it home. But the police officer, last thing he said to me is, you know, Mr. Hoiser, on the 4th of July, we don't see this kind of stuff till at least midnight. This was 2 in the afternoon. So
interesting. Now, Lindsay and Hannah, would you say they're different, alike, both, some ways?
They're both driven.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
They are both extremely driven, and they both have a work ethic. Now, Lindsay's much more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Much more serious. Hannah's more happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
Much more congenial and not so serious about current events. Lindsay is right now a liberal. She keeps track of all the political. She's a political junkie like the rest of us, except she sees things from a liberal viewpoint. She calls me all the time, that crazy Trump, I just can't believe that guy's an idiot, he's not bright. And so we have, how do I put this, a brisk conversation at times about it.
It's funny that she's gotten, because you know, I like Trump, but I try not to get too, I don't let it get a grip on my life in any way.
Yeah, I don't either. And same with Obama. I didn't let him get a grip on my life. I just, you know, to me, it's the theater of the absurd.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, we talked about where you're born. What were your parents like when, mom and dad, like, what was your general feeling about them as you were growing up, or personality-wise, or?
Loving.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt loved by both my parents. I thought they both had great senses of humor, and they were easy. It was easy for them to laugh, and they were both, I think, encouraging to all their kids to follow their dreams, do what they wanted to do, whether it be a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher or whatever. It didn't matter to them, and so I always felt that way. And I thought, for the most part, our house was a happy household to grow up in. There was a lot of laughter and singing. I can remember singing around the dining room table, don't you?
Yeah.
And we'd sing hymns. We'd sing patriotic songs.
Oh, yeah. We had fun going on trips.
Had a ton of fun going on trips, yeah.
So I know, how would you describe your relationship with mom?
I thought I had a good relationship with mom for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Mom and I rarely had cross words with each other.
Yeah.
Very, very, very rarely.
Yeah.
Her last year or two of life, it was difficult because she was having to give up some of her independence.
Yes.
And that was, I had to have some difficult conversations with her, as did you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, you know what? I thought Mom was great. I miss her to this day. I as you know, I live close to her, and I can still remember just driving by at 5, and she said, come on in and have a drink with me. Let's talk.
Yeah.
And I just loved that, because I'm lucky. I had that opportunity to do it once, maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
All the time I lived here.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know how great that is?
Yeah.
I know you called her a lot, but just to see her in person. And,
no, I know.
Was mom?
Some people think of seeing their parents maybe as an obligation, but I didn't feel that way at all about my mother.
It was a pleasure
to
see mom.
I looked forward to seeing her laughing and joking around.
Exactly, and she'd have those great books like the Beastly Book of Mispronunciations, and we'd talk and yuck it up, and she was a political junkie, which I like.
Yeah. My favorite thing, though, is when you'd accuse her of hiding the bacon. I thought that was so funny.
She did hide the bacon.
She would cook bacon and put it in the fridge, and you'd come looking for it, and you'd accuse her of hiding the bacon in her own house.
Well, it irritated me, because she would make a rasher of bacon, and I'd look for it, it's gone. One time, she actually put it in back underneath a bunch of lettuce leaves. I go, stop it, Mom. You got to do better than that.
How would you describe your relationship with Dad?
Dad was a little bit of a different relationship, because during my junior and high school years, Dad traveled a lot, and he wasn't around, and his business was booming. So I wouldn't say, there were some things that I was close to Dad on. I know he was a genius at business, and I looked to him for advice on that. I think some of the life things were okay. Towards the end, I thought Dad was a little bit overbearing on some of his, the dogma that was in his religion. In
like religious beliefs?
Religious beliefs. I think he was real harsh at times, I thought.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everything would come around to that rather than just relaxing and enjoying it. I loved Dad, though, and he was a great dad.
Do you feel like he
he's the one that really gave you the encouragement for business?
Yes. There's no doubt in my mind.
Like, would it have been harder if you tried to do it on your own, or what do you think?
I think Dad trained all of us, because all of his kids are entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. trained all of us to be entrepreneurial, be our own bosses. He set the example. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, he was his own boss, but he was also, I mean, he did great trips, and he would take time for the family. Now, as his business really grew, it was harder and harder for him. Mm-hmm. But, gosh, I think Dad really did train his kids to be entrepreneurial in nature and encourage me to go in business. And even to this day, I still use a lot of his advice. You know, if I want to have an expenditure, he goes, son, just get an extra case next year, and that will pay for the problem.
Right. So, you know, Mom and Dad got divorced when I was in high school.
I was a senior in college. You were a senior in high school, right?
So who told you they were getting divorced? Did you know that there were marital problems before that?
Not really, because I was in college for 4 years, so I was never at home. The first inkling I had, well, Mom told me Dad was moving out, and I can remember when she told me.
Were you in college?
Yep. Yeah. And Mom and I had flown out to see David run the New York Marathon, and we were staying in the Sam Moritz Hotel overlooking Central Park South, really nice. Mm-hmm. So we had flown out together, and we'd had some great meals and stuff, and I can remember the morning of the marathon, she said, Dad, Gordon, I need to talk to you about something. And she said, your dad's moving out. Apparently, there's somebody else or something.
How'd you feel? Now I'm going to get sad.
I was very upset. I cried. Because that really, really bothered me.
Was Mom crying?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Shirley, that really bothered me. And I can remember crying.
Did you? No. Did you call Dad? Or what did you do?
I didn't talk to Dad until I got back. But here was the deal with Dad. When I did get back, it took me quite a while to get a hold of him because I think he had gone to London with this other woman for 4 or 5 weeks. And I mean, I couldn't get a hold of him at all. I'd leave messages at his office. And he never told anyone he was going out of town.
Mm-hmm. When did you talk to Dad about that? Address it with him? Did you talk to him on the phone?
Yes, yes. And Dad just told me, well, you know, son, relationships evolve over time. And it's not that I don't love your mom, I do, but it's just that we don't have any much in common anymore. That's what he said. That's how he phrased it.
Mm-hmm. Were you mad?
I wasn't happy.
Did you tell him, or did you just say okay?
I said okay. I sucked it up.
So.
But you know, at that time, he was into some of that weird Middle Eastern higher
New Age religion.
New Age religion.
How would you describe yourself as a child? Were you happy?
I was a happy kid. I really liked my childhood, every minute of it. A lot of sports. We lived in we always had houses where there were backyards and stuff to do and people in the neighborhood. Great childhood.
What is your best memory of your childhood, or worst memory, or both?
You know, though, I have so many good memories. Some of my favorite memories are when we took family trips to the one to Quebec, Canada. Mm-hmm. That was a great trip. I can remember going down to Texas a lot. I thought those were a ton of fun because we'd go to the Gulf Coast. Remember, we'd go to Corpus Christi and what is it? Padre Island. Yeah, and Padre Islands. Those were fun. I remember great Christmases with Grandma and Grandpa coming over.
Mm-hmm. And that was a ton of fun. Relative.
I don't have a lot of bad memories as a child. Grandpa dying is kind of a bad memory because that was the first time I ever. We'd had a death in the family, and I think I was in junior high or Redeemer, 7th or 8th grade, if I remember right.
Did you have a nickname, and how did you get it?
Borden, like Borden's Milk.
Oh, yeah, Borden's
Chuck would call
milk.
Me Milksy.
Milksy?
Yeah.
I forgot about Borden.
But usually people just call me GJ.
That's what I was going to say. I remember GJ because that's your initials, and Dad was a Gordon, too. So.
Yeah.
Who were your best friends over your span of your childhood, would you say?
Probably Steve Bauman. There was another guy, Rick Wiem, was a good friend when I was in junior high, or elementary school, junior high, and high school.
Yeah.
I still have Steve Bauman as a friend. In fact, we're getting together next week.
Hmm. Okay, where did you meet Donna?
I met Donna at a party in San Francisco. Her sister brought her along to a law school party. And that's where I met Donna.
And you went to law school with her sister.
I went to law school.
Where'd you go to law school?
I went to law school at Golden Gate University in San Francisco.
Okay.
feisty then, feisty now she is.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an attorney.
Okay. Do you like your job?
Love my job. I'd say, you know, not no job is perfect, but 85 to 90% of my work, I really enjoy it.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, when I was a little kid, when I was in kindergarten, I wanted to be a garbage man because you could hang off the back of the truck. Then I wanted to be a chiropractor for a while. And then really from high school on, I really wanted to be a lawyer.
Why'd you decide on that?
Several reasons. One is it was a good way to be your own boss. Uh-huh. And that's really appealed to me. Two, it's an excellent way you can make a good living being a lawyer if you're willing to work hard at it.
Were you influenced by Barclay being a lawyer at all?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I thought his work was really interesting. And in college especially, you know, you look at the intellectual challenge of it and arguing your position and all that. That sounded great to me.
Yeah. Tell me about your religious beliefs. What is your religion?
I'm a Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Still a Lutheran. Believe in God. Believe in Christ.
Do you go to church?
Not as often as I used to.
Do you belong to Redeemer still?
I still belong to Redeemer, yeah. Okay. And if I go to church, I go there. At times I've thought of transferring to another Lutheran church,
yeah. But
right now I'm still a Redeemer. But I don't go as often as I used to, maybe once every couple months.
When you were sick, do you feel like, did you pray?
Yeah, I still pray.
I just didn't.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Have you experienced any miracles?
Yeah, my new kidney.
Yeah.
That's a freaking miracle. Yeah, gave me my life back. You woke up from that surgery, you knew you were healthy.
That's good.
Yeah, and you know, the part of the miracle is I had a loving brother that was willing to donate.
True.
That's a miracle. That's a big deal.
What was the most profound spiritual moment of your life?
Whoa.
If you can't think of one, it's
okay.
Well,
you know, the one where I had to face my mortality, and that was when I got so critically ill with kidney failure.
Yeah.
Because now you're looking at going, you know, I don't know how this is all going to turn out.
Did you think you might die? I mean, did you think about that?
Yeah, and then when I was on dialysis, you read about the mortality rates of people who are on dialysis.
It's not good.
It's not good. And so fortunately, I was in otherwise good health.
Yeah, right.
And I was able I was blessed with a lot of natural energy, so I was able to get through that and get the kidney.
You do believe in God?
Absolutely.
Do you believe in the afterlife?
It depends on how you define that. Is there going to be a Gordon Heuser in the afterlife? That I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we become one with God, and what that means, I don't know.
Yeah. How do you feel? Are either of your girls Christians?
Both Lindsay and Hannah say they're Lutheran, but I don't think they practice, and I personally think they're agnostic right now.
Yeah.
But when Hannah's here and I ask her to go to church, she will go to church with me and take communion.
Yeah.
Lindsay's never here. Now she married, like I married a Jewish gal, she married a Jewish boy.
I just didn't know if maybe Lindsay embraced Judaism thought maybe she did.
No, she and Jake talked about it and she said, I'm not going to convert.
Yeah.
Because I asked Lindsay about that and they are going to expose any children they have to both and let the child decide, which probably not my choice, but that's up to...
So it's interesting, though, that she... that maybe she would expose her children to Christianity.
Yeah, she will. Absolutely.
She probably respects the Christian worldview, for sure, and maybe...
Yes, I think she does, at least as how it's taught by Christ, not necessarily as how it's practiced by humans.
Yeah. The ideal, I guess.
The ideal, exactly.
Was that hard raising your children with your wife being Jewish?
Not at all.
Yeah.
We cut a deal before we had children. We did.
Yeah.
And Donna said, I will raise the kids Lutheran and I won't step in or even say anything. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Mm-hmm. For medical care, they go to MDs, not chiropractors.
Okay.
And you know what?
That's
Did I get the better end of the deal?
I think so.
Yeah, and I said, that's fine. Because at that time, I could kind of...
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So I got the better end of the deal. And to her credit, she never said anything.
Yeah.
She went to their confirmation, baptism, everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you tell me about your illness?
Yes, what do you want to know about it?
You really don't have your illness. Well, you don't have an illness
I don't have
now.
It anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now.
So you had kidney failure.
I had kidney failure.
And it was from overuse of NSAIDs. Is that for sure?
Well, that's what they're wondering.
Yeah.
I had extremely high blood pressure when I went in to the hospital initially. And so they don't know, you know, kidney failure could cause high blood pressure, but vice versa, high blood pressure can cause kidney failure. I was taking a lot of NSAIDs, but now after talking to you, I'm wondering if there's a genetic component to it, and I just happened to get the bad gene in me.
Well, maybe there's a little weakness of kidneys.
Or maybe there's a weakness, and unfortunately I triggered it off by taking NSAIDs, plus not taking care of my health, because I hadn't been to a doctor in years and years.
Well, you know, Gordon, I don't know, that running also and dehydration and all of that
is
with NSAIDs, already the NSAIDs with the glomerular filter, I know you know all about that, but getting dehydrated and then running, all that combination and maybe a genetic weakness too.
I think you put it all together and it led to kidney failure, yep.
How has this illness changed you?
As I told you before, you know, and I look at life differently. First off, if I get up and I feel good, that's a pretty good day. And anything else from there really doesn't bug me much. I don't really, not like I used to. I don't ruminate about a lot of stuff. On occasion I do because I'm human. But for the most part, you know, I just don't let little stuff bother me. You know, if there's traffic, it's okay.
Yeah.
If something goes haywire at work, a client gets mad, a judge writes a nasty, it's okay because tomorrow morning's another day.
Right. And, of course, your brother David donated the kidney.
A great brother.
Yeah. So, how'd you feel? Were you scared to have that operation?
No,
kidney?
I was looking forward to it. Yeah. I was scared of being on dialysis for another
more,
day.
More so. Yeah.
More so.
Do you think David was scared of the surgery? Probably was a little bit.
Probably. There's always a risk involved in a surgery. And that's a huge thing for him to give that kidney. That is so big.
I can't imagine him doing anything else, but I got to admit, you're having a surgery and you're giving away an organ, so it is a big deal.
That is a big deal. That is a big deal, and he was loving enough to undergo that.
Okay. We know, where's your mom's family from, like your family heritage?
Down south, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama.
And primarily Anglo-Saxon.
Yep.
Protestant,
yep.
And your dad's family, as far as you know?
I think dad's father came to Pittsburgh from Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought grandma, dad's mom, grew up in Chicago, but they also came from Berlin, if I'm not mistaken.
They're from Germany also.
They're also from Germany.
I have all the details, which I'll show you sometime. But. Are there any traditions from mom's side of the family, from dad's side of the family that you can think of or that you remember? Like, I know one, like mom being from the South, we have black-eyed pea on.
Hop and John.
We have Hop and John because black-eyed peas are good luck to eat on New Year's Day.
One of the traditions from dad's family is, and to this day we still do, we open up our gifts on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And we always have just one big gift on Christmas Day.
Yeah. And what is the birthday song that came from dad's side of the family?
Well, it's Happy May Your Birthday Be, Kept From Sin and Sorrow Free. May you work and watch and play and live for Jesus every day. Is that it or is it
work and watch? Yeah, no, that's it. And I think that may be something Grandma and Grandpa came up with, and maybe it was handed down to them. I don't know where the origin is.
But we do that, yes, exactly.
And we still do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I wonder, I wish I would have asked, I wonder if that's...
wonder where that came from, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very good.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Grandpa was a pastor. Maybe that was something they started at a church or something like that. Who were your favorite relatives?
Other than my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
My cousin Mary.
Yeah.
I just love Mary.
Yeah, Mary.
She's great. Uncle Herman and Aunt Dorothy were great.
Yeah, they were great.
But I have to say, they're my favorite relatives. Mm-hmm. They were just plain, flat-out fun. I knew when they were coming to town, it was going to be fun.
Yeah, it was always good.
Yeah, it was always good. Yeah, yeah, nothing weird.
Yeah.
You feel the same way?
Yeah, very much so. And, of course, my grandparents. I had a good relationship with all of my grandparents. Do you remember any classic family stories? There's so many.
Well, Chuck moving into a chicken coop.
Oh, yeah.
When he was 16. That's
a lot
classic.
Of our immediate family stories revolve around Chuck and his antics.
Yeah, but that's such, I mean, that's a rich field.
I mean, Chuck was the rebel.
Absolutely.
Barkley was the golden boy.
Yeah, because Barkley belonged to a homework club in high school. that's how weird he was.
He was a good student.
He was, and from he was what a straight arrow.
From what I understood, he and Mom were very close when he was growing up.
Yes, I would believe that.
Yeah, and Chuck, I don't know what the dynamics were that made him a rebel, if it was something innate, or like a lot of second children, his attention.
That's how he made his mark in the world, yeah.
I kind of got the impression from Mom, nothing specific, that Chuck and Dad, even when Chuck was a little boy, like when Barkley tricked Chuck, there's a classic story. Barkley tricked Chuck into opening up all the Christmas presents.
I remember this story, yes.
And who gets in trouble? Chuck.
Chuck.
And I think Mom felt that was unfair. She was not happy about that, that Dad punished Chuck about that.
Right. I do remember that story.
I think Mom felt that that was like, oh, we're talking
Come
about
on
you.
In.
We're talking about you.
I was talking about the time you tricked Chuck into opening up the Christmas presents, and Chuck got busted.
Oh, I got busted too, though. I couldn't play with I got double six shooters, and I couldn't mess with them.
Another classic story was when David got a shell in his knee.
That's a very classic story. The other classic story is when he organized the lawnmower marathon.
And cut his heel.
And cut his Achilles tendon, rolled up like a window shade.
Okay, so give me like a sentence or two, Barkley. How would you describe him? It can be funny, whatever. Like, if you had to like summarize your brothers, if you had to tweet a summary of their personalities or who they are.
Barkley's hilarious. He's got a great sense of humor. And he can see funny stuff in almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is uptight about little stuff.
Yeah.
But he's what I would call a fuss budget. But a fuss budget with a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. And interesting. He's interested in lots of different things. And so.
Extremely well read.
Yeah. Okay, Chuck.
Chuck also, great sense of humor. He's kind of a wild guy. You know, nothing. You can't put him into a mold.
And he's the you know how every family has the wild, like the wild uncle.
Mm-hmm. He's the wild uncle.
Who drinks too much at every holiday.
Yep, exactly. But that's him. But
in a good way,
what?
In the best of ways.
Chuck's got a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And David, he's a little more reserved, but still a great sense of humor. Since the death of his son, I think he's been more reserved than usual.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean he's shy or introspective. Well, he's introspective, but I'd say he's more reserved, but again, a great, great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And always loving to his family.
And me, and make it good.
Great sense of humor, bright, great mom, great sister, intelligent, well-read.
What was your, okay, what is the first memory, best memory? How'd you feel when Mom died?
You know, I still get choked up thinking about it. Very upset, because I loved Mom. She was fun. But there was one part of me that was a relief, because she was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
She was not happy in assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't feed herself anymore. She couldn't get to the bathroom. Her independence was fading rapidly. But overall, I really miss her. And I to this day, I still miss her. I walk by that house almost every day and think, the great times of going in there.
Do you think Mom was... That kind of bothered me a little bit, but do you think Mom was afraid to die? Sad to die? Relieved to die?
You know, the few times I talked to her about it in the 2 or 3 years prior, what she said was... she wasn't so much afraid of dying, but she just hated to think that this collection of great memories and things would perish with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think towards the end she was somewhat scared. The night before she died, my nephew Danny and I stayed till about 11:30 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Was she conscious?
Yes. And they gave her that little stick with a sponge on it for water. And I said, it's the last one, Mom. And I said, Mom, I got to go home and get some sleep. Is that okay? And she looked at me and she goes, not okay, not okay. But I had to go. And then I got the call at 4:30 that she had died. And you know what? I wish I had stayed the 4.5 hours, but...
I know you don't know.
You just don't know.
Did you know, though, that she was going to die that night, or...?
No, not that night. They had called me on that Friday before she died. I was at a seminar in Denver, and it was the hospice nurse said, you know, your mom, probably not going to live another 3 or 4 days, and yeah, you might want to spend some time with her and get down here. So we spent a lot of time over the weekend, and all the siblings did, too.
I know. You called me. I had just gotten back to Kansas City, and I didn't come because I had just been out here. But I wish I would have. I just...
You did. You know, Sarah Lee, you were a good daughter to Mom.
Yeah. But I wanted to be there because she did say she didn't want to die alone.
That's the part that bothered me. I wish I was there.
You know?
Because I would have held her hand until 4:30. And then at least she'd have known someone was there. She died by herself. And
yeah. When you're in the middle of it, you just don't know. Is it going to be 12 hours? Is it going to be 4 hours?
You don't know. But you know what, Sarah Lee? Maybe that last fleeting moment, and maybe it's okay. I don't know, to be by yourself. You don't want your family to have to deal with it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I sure miss her.
Yeah.
She was just a ton of fun.
Let's see. What about Dad's death? My dad lived in Kansas. Dad lived in Kansas City, and I kind of dealt with that.
I was not as close to Dad, I think, emotionally, as I was with Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you took care of Dad. I kind of was the caretaker for Mom, so I really got to know her ups and downs and the goods and bads. And
mm-hmm. So maybe not.
I was upset about Dad's death, but not like I was with Mom. It impacted me much more to have Mom die. Dad kind of, you know, and I thought about this over the years. Dad kind of made a conscious decision to separate himself from the family when he left to be with the other woman.
Do you think that brought distance into your relationship?
Yes. Yeah, because...
Do you feel mad about it? Even, like, I mean, I know you didn't, like, call Dad and say I'm mad, but inside, did you feel a little...
Yeah,
Distance yourself?
Yeah, I felt put out that he was doing this to the family because we had had such a great family unit, I thought, for years. And, you know, there was that blend with everyone together, and we could poke fun
really
at each
good,
other.
Yeah.
It was really fun, and we could laugh. And there's my dad going off with someone who's younger than my oldest brother.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Geez, you know, sir, I guess I'm mad to this day still.
When you really
about
think
it.
About it.
Yeah, when I think about it, because he didn't do right by Mom.
He made
a conscious decision.
I got a chance to talk to Dad about it more because I lived there in Kansas City, you know, and we talked a lot about it, and he said it was a big mistake, and he apologized, and he really... And I think it helped me to be able to verbalize that to him because I let him know.
Did you tell him you were mad?
Oh, very mad. He knew I was mad. Very mad. We had multiple conversations over a period of a year or two. Not all the time, but maybe 2 or 3 times a year. And I told him how unfair I felt it was, how angry I was about it, how unfair it was to Mom.
Absolutely.
There's no excuse for it. Don't give me any excuse if I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
He didn't argue with me about it. He agreed.
He made a conscious decision to do something.
He said, I can't rectify it. And I think Dad did the best he could. I think he realized it was a big mistake, honestly. And I think he realized I still have to live my life. I can't just die.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah. And so he tried to... He was a good dad. It was good and healing for me to live near him.
Maybe you got that. I did not get that from him.
It was good
in
the
distant. I never really got to spend time with Dad alone like you did.
Yeah.
It was usually in the context of either Nancy or Barbara being there.
Yeah.
And I never thought Dad let his guard down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the we were talking about the saddest moment of your life. It wasn't when Dad died. It was really when Dad had his stroke. That's the dividing between Dad and a very sick and injured person.
That stroke devastated him.
Yeah, I mean, after that, it was just...
He was a shell.
Yeah, he was just a shell, but... Yeah. Anyway, anything... I wanted to ask you, if you know any stories like Grandma told you about her and Grandpa... Now, we have that series of written stories, and we know we've got all of that, but is there any story from her childhood or anything she ever told you her parents or... upbringing?
You know what? I never really learned much about her parents.
Mm-hmm. You remember Aunt Ruth? Did you ever hear about Aunt Ruth?
Vaguely. And Grandpa, I remember Uncle was it Emil?
Emil, yeah.
Yeah, Uncle, and he came and visited us. I remember we all drove to the top of Pike's Peak with Uncle Emil. Grandpa, okay. Uncle Emil, the boys. You remember we had that old station wagon, yeah, that Plymouth Fury 3 or whatever it was. Yeah, and we piled us all and we drove to the top. Some stories Grandma told. One story she told was during World War II, cars were in short supply because the industrial capacity of the United States was directed towards making military stuff. Mm-hmm. But they allowed exceptions for doctors and clergy. Mm-hmm. And Grandpa had a car. Mm-hmm. And I guess Grandma had talked to somebody about, well, if the price is right, I'm sure we'd sell that car.
Right.
Well, that guy came and knocked on Grandpa's door and mm-hmm. said, hey, your wife had indicated you might be interested in selling the car. And Grandpa was kind of taken aback, and he said, okay. He went back and talked to Harriet, and I guess they had quite a conversation. But he said, I'm going to make the price so outrageous, he'll never take it.
Yeah.
He took it. And he ended up with no car for the next year or two until the war was over.
Interesting. I never heard that.
Yeah, and then they talk about Grandpa being sick with the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
And he barely lived.
And she wrote that in her, if you go back and read the little story she wrote,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole section of that. He went in to take care of a mother who had a dying baby.
That's
and
right.
His mother and coughed.
Coughed and got it. And he had a fever and he was delirious.
The mother and child died.
Yes, but Grandpa had a fever and he was delirious and then it broke.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, the fever broke, he's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a twin.
Yeah.
And
I've seen the birth certificate, but I cannot find it anywhere. Dad used to have it in a metal box.
Oh, Grandpa's or the twin?
Grandpa and the twin. And the twin's name was Adolf.
Yeah, it's not a big name nowadays.
Yeah. Grandma's Grace, I want to ask you, any stories you heard about her childhood and growing up?
You know what? None, really.
Yeah.
None.
Did
Grace,
you ever
Grace and I were never really that close.
Yeah, I wonder why that is, because I felt very close to her.
Yep, as did Chuck, but I think Bartley will tell you he never really felt close with her. But
is it because you just, like I'd go down there and spend weeks with her.
And I would too, and even Mom told me, I talked to her this about 10 or 15 years, she goes, I don't know why, she just took a dislike to you, and she doesn't know why.
To you?
Yeah, she just didn't know why, that's what Mom said.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I never heard that. I can't imagine.
Yeah, she just, for whatever reason, Mom even agreed, she picks on you. She picked on you constantly.
Really?
Yeah. There was a story when I was in...
Were you whiny?
Probably. But not whiny enough to drive off the other grandparents. There was a story I had when I was in seventh grade. I had to go and get Easter clothes. Mom would always buy us a new Easter suit.
Yeah, right.
So I went and bought an Easter suit, and we couldn't find a belt. And I told Mom, Madian F has a belt.
Yeah.
And Grace said, nope, that's too expensive. And Sarah said, no, we'll go over to Madian F. Anyway, she took me over to Madian F, and I guess Grace just popped a cork and said, that's it, Sarah, I'm going home. And Mom said, that's fine. And she packed up and left.
What is that, Grace? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Grace.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue this.
That's fine.
I'm really thinking next summer when we have our family reunion, I'll just record all of us talking about what we remember about grandparents, things they've told us, all of that.